This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from Sun and Fun 2015 in Lakeland, Florida. We're with Dan Johnson of the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, and LAMA and the Ultralight Association are getting much more into the advocacy role for smaller aircraft. And among the things that you're talking about, Dan, is, for want of a better word, commercial use of LSAs. Tell us about how all that started.
Well, thank you, Russ. We were approached by one FAA office who asked us if we would go out and survey elsewhere in the world how light aircraft, light sport aircraft, but they're not always known by that name in other places. So we just kind of go with light sport aircraft or light aircraft. And they asked us, how are these being used in a commercial setting, that is, when they are flown for hire for various duties? What kind of duties are those? What countries? What kind of aircraft? And so we said, okay, we'll go ahead and survey that. And we did. We got back a number of responses and prepared it into a little report and gave it to FAA. And out of that came the realization that they had some interest. Now, this is just one office. I mean, this is not the whole FAA, so let's be careful about that. But they said that there was an interest in seeing if these aircraft could be used this way. Perhaps that was driven by the onset of drones coming in to do things, and now, as opposed to a drone, you've got at least a qualified pilot in an approved aircraft and so on. But clearly, these kind of aircraft can be used for various things. Pipeline patrols, border patrolling, searching for lost individuals, lost children, even some certain types of agricultural spraying they're very good for. They're quiet, they're fuel efficient. They're fairly low cost. They have sophisticated construction and instrumentation, and they're appropriate for these kinds of things. So what we learned was that in Europe they refer to this as aerial work, and that's a little softer term than commercial use, which implies hauling cargo, hauling passengers. That's not what we're trying to do. So we're going to try and follow up on that and see if we can't help the industry sell some more airplanes by using them in some commercial settings.
Well, in a way, they already are being put to work by law enforcement. We heard that at a news conference with Flight Design today. So is there an example to be seen there?
Well, there definitely is, Russ. It's generally called public use, and when a law enforcement organization wants to use an airplane, they do not have to go through the usual certification process with that airplane. So they can immediately take a light sport aircraft, if they judge it to be a successful tool for their purposes, and put it into service. And indeed, we heard at the press conference about an aircraft that's already acquired, I think it's only about 2 years old or less, and they've already acquired 2,000 hours on that airplane, and they are so happy with it, they're getting another one. Now, this is these aircraft can run, by the light sport referencing, $250,000 to $400,000, we heard. Sounds like a lot of money for light sport aircraft, but compared to a helicopter or some other aircraft, or even, they said, a couple of squad cars can cost that much when all equipped with the things they like to put in them. It's really a very cost-efficient move for them. And so the company Flight Design that was reporting that success, and there are other companies that are having some success with that as well, are seeing it as a new business for them. So we're getting an example right here, right now, that these aircraft do apply to that kind of use.
So what do you think an aerial work process will look like under FAA regulations, if it comes to that?
Well, that's the key word there. It does require regulatory change, because in the LSA rules, it excludes any kind of commercial use except flight instruction and rental of aircraft. Those are presently allowed for a special light sport aircraft, fully manufactured aircraft. Other uses are not presently allowed. So this does require regulatory change, and that's why LAMA and USUA are just saying that we are investigating how that can go. But since the original inquiry came out of FAA, and given what we know about how they feel about drones being used for some of these same purposes, we can see that there's some real potential, and clearly this kind of thing is good for industry players, so they can sell some more airplanes and be more viable businesses. So we're going to continue following it up. I wouldn't hazard a guess as to how soon that could happen. At least a couple of years, I'm sure, because of regulatory change. But we've been given enough support for the idea with other organizations that we think we should go forward with it. So we're going to go ahead and try.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from Sun and Fun 2015 in Lakeland, Florida. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.